Hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle. It's our second day building up to Super Bowl 52 between the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. We're here in the Mall of America, the media center. Jeff Reinbold is with me again, and we're joined by the best dressed man in Minnesota. Glad to have him back, a big part of our show early in the season, Solomon Wilcott. Solomon, thank you for joining us.
Well, it's great to be back with you guys. Obviously, when I went across the pond with you guys back in September, you showed me great hospitality. I want to return the favor.
Good stuff. Jeff, I feel a bit underdressed now.
Sully's taking it to a whole new level, in this weather, is that thing fleece lined?
See, I don't even know what that is, but you do.
I tell you what, I gotta give you props, because when we talked, when you were doing the show with us,
yeah,
we talked about the Chiefs.
Yeah,
you were prophetic.
We're not going to talk about the Chiefs now. We're talk about
I just got to give you your props.
I appreciate it.
Let's talk Patriots and Eagles and their early exchanges with the media and how you feel they're going to deal with this whole week, because dealing with this whole week is a part of it, isn't it, Solomon?
It is. And you know, we talk about it. You can only win the game on Sunday, but you can lose it between now and kickoff.
Right.
And we've seen this happen before. But I think the Eagles will be well prepared. They're in a big market. It's a big media market there in Philly.
Yeah, they're used to that.
They're on top of them there. You know, it's a different kind of market. But I think they're used to it. And I think as we get closer to the game, they'll become more relieved that they get the focus only on the game.
And is that on both these head coaches, Jeff? When we look at one of them's been there forever. He's been in 21% of all Super Bowls, Bill Belichick, as a head coach or as an assistant. Doug Peterson's been there twice as a backup, but right. Didn't see the field, but at least he's been through.
Well, he's been through the circus of it. Jim Schwartz has been through the circus of it when he was with the Titans.
Frank Reich has been there as a player.
But what I wanted to ask you, Solly, when in your Super Bowl week, did Sam come at you with anything in terms of how you were going to handle all the noise? Because it's a lot of noise.
Yeah, you know what? He told us to enjoy it, to just really make sure that we don't say anything that would come back to haunt us. But he really wanted us to enjoy it. He felt like we could handle the moment. We had been through a lot of big games. We had a big season. He wanted us to be ourselves. And as we got closer to the game, he wanted to see us focus a little bit more. But there were no restrictions early in the week. He let us go out and have fun. We were in Miami.
You have curfew?
No curfew. We got to have fun. Now, as we got closer to the game, then they started to tighten things up.
You know, the curfew here in Minneapolis is it being about minus 15
exactly.
degrees.
Exactly. That is the curfew.
Just Mother stay nature. In your hotel room.
Yeah. No, he says it's time to go back in.
Of course, these teams have been meeting the media already, and we've caught up with the players from the Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. And Zach Ertz, the tight end, the Pro Bowl tight end for the Eagles, was talking about playing the underdog card.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a chip on our shoulder the entire year. No one picked us at the beginning of the year. No one picked us after Carson got hurt. No one picked us first round, second round, NFC Championship. So we're just excited to be here. The chips on our shoulder will never leave. I think being in the NFL, you have to have one.
Yeah, Zach Ertz led the Eagles in catches and receiving yards this season. Solomon, they're a third straight playoff game as an underdog, and they're using it this week in the Super Bowl, of course, and it's against the Patriots, but it must have stung a bit to be a home underdog in the playoffs. The Eagles are going to use all of that, aren't they?
I think the Eagles understand that that's all the outside noise, that they have no control over where the odd makers would place them in this game. What I can tell you, though, is Nick Foles is completing 77% of his passes in these two postseason games. He's playing at a high level, and they have one of the best defenses in the NFL, and they can run the
They got
football.
A great offensive line, I think.
The offensive line, all very pros, underrated.
All the all-pros on the offensive line.
Yeah, how many times can you lose your all-pro left tackle
and still just keep
pounding away at it? Yeah. You know what, Solly, it's interesting you're talking about that approach, and I think if you're going to beat New England, you got to physically beat New England.
That's right.
And that's where I think they have a chance.
And that's where you talked about the offensive line. I think they're very underrated up front, the Eagles. On the offensive line. Their offensive line is plenty good. Their defensive line is a big, physical, strong defensive line. If you show me a football team that's big, strong, and physical on both the offensive and defensive line, I tell you, they're capable of beating anyone.
Right.
And that's what I see in this Eagles team. Listen, we all know they've got Tom Brady over there with the Patriots. They've got Bill Belichick. We know that you have to score 28 or more points to beat them, because Tom has the league's number one offense, and they average 28 points a game. But if you can get a couple of turnovers and hit Tom Brady, you've got to be physical and hit the quarterback, your chances of winning go up.
So if you have to physically beat the New England Patriots? Do you have to mentally not beat yourself? Because we've seen so many times,
very good.
Coaches seem to try and overcoach when they face Bill Belichick.
Yeah, and Bill just kind of sits and allows you to make your mistakes. Yeah. He lets you make your mistakes. Tom Brady, he recognizes you're a little bit lazy getting on and off the field, so he goes with a quick snap and gets, you know, gets a penalty and gets 15 or 10 or 15 extra yards. Tom Brady is good at this. If the defensive back is out of position, he's going to throw the ball right in there, the right place, and he's going to draw a flag, a penalty flag, on the defensive back because he knows you're playing blind. Yeah. And he doesn't have to be a completion. He knows how to draw the penalty flag.
How much has this event changed since you played in the Super Bowl to where we are now?
The game has not changed, but all the stuff around it has.
Yeah.
You know, we have Billy Joel singing, you know, the national anthem. In this game, you've got the big halftime show. You got not only the national anthem, but then they do another song even prior to that. It's like there's so much that goes into it leading up to the game and even before kickoff that it's a spectacular event.
Now, let me ask you about what exactly you talked about. The NFL halftime, these guys are used to the regular NFL halftime. Now, they've got this expanded halftime. Expanded halftime.
Yeah.
Now, from a coaching standpoint, tendency to do too much at halftime, get out of your routine? Because, you know, pro football players are creatures of habit. They want routine.
And coaches don't want to see their players sitting around at
they always
halftime.
Think they got to have
another. So they figure, well, we got to go over maybe a few more things. I would say only go over the things that are pertinent to in terms of what you need to adjust, what you need your players to focus on, and what you need to highlight.
Yeah.
Some things you say, hey, let's keep doing this well. Here are some of the things that we're going to do differently. I believe that if you're playing a Patriots team, if you think you're going to be able to do the same things in the second half that you did in the first half and still win, you're done.
Yeah.
So you should be prepared to do some things different. Hey, we blocked this run play like this in the first half. Here's how we're going to block it now, and here's going to be the play that we build off of that look.
Right.
To me, you got
to
already
hold
do
a
that.
Couple calls for the second half. Blitz, don't show a blitz early in the game and then have to you need a new look.
Yeah, you need a new look. I think you have to have different ways of getting to the same blitz. If you're going to exploit this right tackle, you have to have different ways of how to exploit it and anticipate that they're going to motion down a tight end and give him some help.
Yep.
So how do we handle that? If they give us that, here's what we do. Those are the things you have to go over.
Solomon, give us a prediction for Super Bowl 52. How do you see it playing out on Sunday?
I can only predict that the Patriots will win, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles shocked them and had the upset. The Eagles are going to be physical. Yeah. I do believe that they will give the Patriots some problems early on.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Tom is so good. It's kind of like solving that Rubik's Cube.
Right. Yeah.
Sooner or later, he locks in and boom. He's got you. Once he locks in and he diagnoses what you are doing and you don't have anything else to go to as a backup plan, it's over. Now, that's kind of how I see it.
All right, we're going to take, sorry, Jeff, we're going to take a quick break here on Sky Sports. When we come back, thanks to Solomon Wilcox for joining us. Great to see you again.
Great seeing you, Solly, guys.
And we will be back after the break with the greatest player in Jacksonville Jaguars history. Welcome back to Minnesota. We're in the Super Bowl Media Center, which is also the biggest shopping center in America, which is handy. Jeff Reinbold, now we're joined by, I billed you before the break, Tony, as the greatest Jacksonville Jaguar in team history. Is that float your boat? Is that right?
I mean, that's nice. I mean, I think maybe Fred Taylor might argue with you. You know, Mark Brunell, Jimmy Smith. I mean, heck, right now, Tom Coughlin might be everyone's favorite after coming back. And then you forget about Jalen Ramsey and those guys. So it's a nice honor to have, or a nice way to introduce me, but there's probably a lot of guys you could argue
Let's start there then with Coach Coughlin. They still call him Coach, don't they, around the building. Coach Coughlin coming in, teaming with Doug Marrone, and a team that was so close to being here this week. What kind of impact did Coach Coughlin have almost immediately?
Yeah, I don't think there's any one thing. I mean, I think everyone's like, what's the magic bullet, you know, like how did it happen? I think more than anything, it's who he is and his presence in the building, in the facilities. He's one of those guys because of what he's done overall in the NFL, winning two Super Bowls, but also what he did there initially of building it. He was the architect of that franchise at the beginning. That he's one of those guys that everyone walks a little bit straighter. shows up to work.
A bit
smart, yeah, smart, better dressed, shows up to work a little bit earlier, dots the I's, crosses the T's, and it's just a little bit more accountability.
Yeah, we actually just arranged a time to do this interview with Tony, and he told me we were 3 minutes late starting.
Yeah,
so that's how it goes, right?
Yeah, yeah,
time. You know what? We're in our show, the last week, the playoff game, they showed a picture of Tom on the field, and he had this big floppy hat on, and I could not believe what I was seeing, because he had sunglasses on.
That was against
and
the
that
rules.
Was never, yeah, you right. never wore sunglasses.
Yeah, I guess his retinas got burned enough from the sun that had a doctor got to him and said, listen, put sunglasses on.
You liked to play an aggressive style. We know that you played with an edge, and that was the way you played the game as an offensive tackle. What do you make of the way these current Jaguars play the game? They seem to play with a little bit of a swagger. What do they call it? A dripping with swagger.
Yeah,
isn't that what Jalen Ramsey said?
They're a physical group. They're very aggressive at everything they do. They play with an edge.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to say it. Sometimes they go over the edge a little bit, but that's okay. I'd rather have to pull guys back than have to push them.
Yeah.
And they're a confident group, and they should be. They're very talented. Defensively, they kind of carried this team. I think the offense came along. And I think it's a very bright future for the entire organization. But it is not a group that lacks any confidence in anything they do.
You'd rather get them to play it down than go overboard.
I agree with Tony 100%, because when you got to kick them to play hard, that's tough. You know, you look at the football team, and Tony, so many of their talented players are signed through 18 into 19. This is a team that's, in my opinion, you know how we talk about the Super Bowl window?
Right.
This is a team now that is right in the cusp.
Well, they are. And now the question you always kind of work through is you still got to sign some guys this year. What do you do with Blake Bortles? I think that's a big question.
Good question.
Allen Robinson. Can you sign him? Do you franchise him? And you always have cap issues. You're always trying to get better and make different moves. As soon as you get satisfied, you're going backwards. There's an old saying, you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're never staying the same. And so I think that now what you've gotten a taste of almost getting there, it's hard to do that. I remember in 96 when we got there and just barely lost.
Yeah.
I left that game as a young player and said, oh, we'll be right back there. Not that easy.
Yeah.
And so they got some work to do. But you're right. I mean, you like the core group that they built, and that was the plan from the beginning.
What do you think about Blake? What do you think they do? He's due to make $19 million if he's on the roster this year.
Well, I don't know any more than you do outside of the fact that I saw the report that he had wrist surgery.
Yeah.
That plays into it, because if he's on the roster first day of the league year, I think is March 9th or right around there, then his $19 million is guaranteed. And if he can't pass a physical, his 19 is guaranteed. I don't know the situation. If you take that aside, I think Blake played much better this year. I think he improved. And one of the things I'm really curious about, and this is why I might lean towards bringing him back no matter what, is what will he do when he has the same coordinator and the same assistant 2 years in a row?
Same quarterback coach.
Hasn't had that.
That's a big thing. Alex Smith had that same thing early in his career. Well, we know the Jags were very, very close to reaching the Super Bowl, but they came up against a Patriots team which never knows when it's beaten. That was one of the subjects we touched upon when we spoke to Patriots wide receiver Brandon Cooks.
I would just have to say Coach does a good job of preaching, playing all quarters of football. Until the clock says 0-0-0, you always got a chance.
Yes, Brandon Cooks, a big addition to the New England Patriots this year. Let's talk about this weekend then for you, Tony, because
you have to rub in the Brandon Cook stuff.
I'm just not moving on. I'm parking
it's
that.
It's still painful. I'm parking.
I just said he was a big player. I parked it, and I'm going to move on. You're going to call the game for Westwood One. Last year, we had you on our set at Radio Row, and we talked about you were going to have a good weekend anyway, because you're going to call the game and have a good time in the stadium. But it's another big weekend. You're a Hall of Fame finalist again. Do you talk about it? Do you get a sense that this might be your year? What do you think?
I don't know. No. I mean, I talk about it because I'm here. And like you guys, everyone else in Radio Row wants to know about it.
What would it mean to you then?
It would be huge. Yeah. And I'm still working the game for Westwood One, so I'll be doing that. And so my mind's occupied. But come Saturday, I'll be nervous and anxious because that's when they announce it. And if it happens, it's life-changing. People say, what do you think? How you feel? I'm like, I don't know. I've never done it before.
It's time, Jeff, right?
I'm not sure what to feel.
What's so cool, you think about when you're a player, you get that knock on the door, and it's the Turk saying,
the wrong one,
you know,
right.
This will be the good bring knock. Your playbook,
yeah,
right?
This will
be the knock that puts you in a gold jacket. I think that's well-deserved, and I'm looking forward to it for you.
There's 15 guys on that list, 14 other guys. Right. They're all sitting there in the same seat I am saying, you know, they want to be there, and they all deserve it, in my opinion. If it happens, it'll be overwhelming.
Yeah.
This year I brought my mom, my wife, Angie, and my two boys are coming. And so I'm sure my mom and wife will be crying. And so that'll be, you know. And if I don't make it, my boys will be looking at me like, oh, what do we come out here for then, Dad? You know? So it'll be interesting responses either way.
Tony, let's when we have our guests up here, we play a couple of little games for them. You know, we did the stats thing last year, finished that sentence. This time we're going to do a game called Would You Rather? All right, so I want to know.
It's a dangerous game. I mean, is this, what kind of would you rather?
It's the family version.
I mean, my goodness.
All right, ready? So would you rather?
What are you, I'm worried about, what are you doing in your free time?
This is for you. These are all about you, Tony. Would you rather be stuck on a boat with Bill Belichick for a whole day or stuck in an elevator with Tom Coughlin for 4 hours?
Well, I got to go with the boat with Bill Belichick because at least I'm out in the, I mean, sun, maybe a little, you know, a little fishing time. Maybe I can ask him to pull me on the tube behind the boat. You know, lay
it's
out
Bill Belichick,
in the sun.
Though. It might be a hard conversation, right?
Well, that's fine, but stuck in an elevator for 4 hours?
Fair point. I didn't really think it through.
I mean, come on. I mean, I don't care who you put me with there. I'm going with Bill Belichick on the boat.
I think I'd go Tom Coughlin.
In the elevator. You're telling me to go in the elevator.
No, I'm lying.
That's
I'm lying.
Lie.
I'm just trying to justify the question. Yeah, right?
No disrespect to Tom. I love Tom.
It's the boat, right? All the time.
It'd be the boat for sure.
Yeah, I know.
And that's not a knock on Coach Coughlin.
Yeah,
it's,
no, dude, it's, boat.
It's a knock on the question, right?
It's a knock on the question. How do you see this Super Bowl playing out, the game between the Eagles and the Patriots? Here they are, the Patriots again. Does it matter that they've been here so many times and the Eagles have?
Absolutely, I think it matters. I think they're used to it. I think there's probably less distractions and less of, you know, chasing that shiny object that's out there all week,
right,
you know, for the players. So, you know, and the shiny object is, you know, the events and your family and people want tickets and, you know, go to dinner with this individual. And and the Patriots, like, we've done this before.
Yeah.
I actually think the roster of the Eagles is better outside of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
I'm done picking
against Tom Brady.
Yeah, you're done,
like, I'm
right?
done. So I'm picking Tom because if you don't,
you're crazy.
I mean, I said last year on the sideline when it was 28-3, I looked at the producer. I said, it's over.
Yeah.
There's no chance. And I said, I'll never count that guy out again. He's the most remarkable team sport athlete I've ever seen. I've never seen anything like it. Everyone talks about Michael Jordan and best basketball player maybe ever, LeBron James, all that. Best team athlete? Tell me someone who has done what Tom Brady has done over the length of a time.
Especially with his back against the wall.
All the pieces changing out.
See, I agree with you because if you look at this game and you just go player by player, you might take Solder at left tackle. Might, all right?
You're taking Gronk just because he's
taking
the best
Gronk. You're taking Brady. Maybe Gilmore, Chung, maybe. After that, it's all Eagles. But
it's a team game.
Yeah. It's a team game.
What about, so it could be right in the middle that this is decided with Fletcher Cox and the offensive line. I mean, we've talked about offensive line play around the league before.
Well, I think that the Eagles should control the line of scrimmage. And even look at that Jaguar game, for most of the game, they did as well. Until really the middle of the third and on, it was kind of the Patriots. So I think the Eagles have an advantage there. But the Patriots can put so much stress on you in so many different ways. They're the best team at creating matchup issues, especially their offense. And you saw it last week. I mean, all of a sudden you have Telvin Smith chasing Danny Amendola. It's like,
right.
I mean, how do we – like, because of formation and everything else. And Tom gets rid of the ball so quick and gets you in the right place so often that he can nullify any disadvantage they have up front. So I think it's a tough matchup. Fletcher Cox, Timmy Jernigan. You know, you got Brandon Graham and Vinnie Curry on the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the starting four. They play seven defensive linemen. This year, the Philadelphia Eagles had seven defensive linemen play 400 or more snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, they're rolling them in and rolling them in.
Can you get them in, though, with Tom?
Exactly.
I
agree with
that. They're going to go hurry up. He's going hurry up so they can't sub.
Yeah, you might as well get them on
the
field, right?
I talked to Jim Schwartz about that yesterday, and he said, it's a concern because we need to play Destiny Vaveo. We need to get our back. We need to get Chris Long on the field and pass rushers.
We want to get Barrett and Long out there because they're very good pass rushers. But if all of a sudden they're going and going, you might find yourself sitting on the sidelines for the entire series.
Getting frustrated. Let's just wrap up, finishing talking about, you know, the Jags in London, continued support in the UK. The Jags are growing in the UK. You can see it. You can feel it, right? Every time you come back,
more and more fans. Have they announced who we're playing over there?
Yeah.
I don't want to break any.
Against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay,
what
so
a game.
Everyone knows that. I want to make sure.
Yeah, what a game that'll be.
I mean, you talk about the AFC champ, runner-up, and then the current Super Bowl, maybe Super Bowl champs.
What a game,
It might be the biggest game in this history of the series.
Yeah.
For these London series. I know it's the biggest Jag game that we've ever played. I think it's maybe, you know the history better than I, but
it's one
of the best matchups. I think it's going to be huge. What a great opportunity for the fans of London to come out and see two of the best teams in the NFL.
Now, I know Jeff doesn't like the cold. I'm just seeing how a man
he's
from Florida.
He's a California guy. From,
how? No.
So I have a good friend that lives here in Minneapolis. And I texted him last night. I said, it is so blank cold here.
I'm glad he said blank.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules
are. No, that's good. Definitely.
London are,
that's
so
the rule.
it's so blank cold here, but the people are so blank nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's like freezing. I'm like, I don't know why you choose to live here. It's so cold.
Yeah.
But then you walk around, there might be the nicest people. And I live in the South, which you have nice people. The people in Minnesota are over the top, gracious and nice to you. So I can see why people like living here.
But with this game, if we talked about Brady, you don't want to go against Brady. If Brady wins, is he the greatest player ever? Everyone talks about Jerry Rice.
Said he was.
Yeah, no I mean, question. That's what I think. It doesn't really matter now, does it?
No, he's right now, he's the best I've ever seen.
You know what?
Now, if you look at, like, it's hard in football because they're unique and individual skill sets.
Yeah.
Like Jerry Rice, you could argue, I'm not going to sit here and argue that he's the greatest player ever. Yeah. He's for sure the greatest wide receiver. Jim Brown, Barry Sanders. I mean, how do you, I mean, it's hard to, Lawrence Taylor, I've never seen anyone do what he does. I mean, so how do you compare those?
Here's the thing that makes it even more special to me. He's 40 years old. Listen, and Father Time gets everybody.
That's the only person that's ever going to beat him. He'll beat the rest
maybe,
of them.
Maybe we all should sign up for TB12, whatever that day.
Let's start stretching. That's a good place to.
The problem is avocado ice cream.
I could eat the avocado ice cream, but the stretches he's doing, I'm done. So I can't sign up.
I could do the go to bed at 8:30. I'm good with that. I'm all right with that. Everyone needs their sleep.
I just got to make it down the driveway and back right now. I'll be okay.
All right, thanks for joining us, Tony. Good luck this weekend.
And we wish you all the best there.
It's Tony Baselli, all-time great for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we hope a Hall of Famer come this weekend. Thanks for joining us today on Inside the Huddle. We'll be back tomorrow with more from the Super Bowl City.